Put down that smartphone and listen to me. I'm Matthew Milligan, professional musician and lifelong Weird Al fan. Each week, I'm joined by professional podcaster and close personal friend, Matt Kelly, to take a dive off the deep end into the vast career of pop culture icon Weird Al Yankovic on our show, Weird Algorithm. Along with some very special guests from the worlds of music and comedy, we tackle every song, every television appearance, and every bit of sketch comedy Al has produced in chronological order, covering the good old days of My Bologna and Eat It, the fun zone of Tacky and White and Nerdy, and everything in between. As we go, we're ranking the songs, albums, and music videos in the hopes of creating the ultimate guide to a career bigger than the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota. So the next time you're having one of those days stuck in a traffic jam wondering why does this always happen to me, just kick off your sneakers and stick around for a while because we've got it all on Weird Algorithm, available wherever you get your podcasts. And now you know. Was that enough references?
Hi, friends. The world got you down. Don't be sad. Listen to $2 Late Fee with Zach and Dustin.
$2 Late Fee is the podcast that celebrates the best decade of entertainment, the 1980s. We pick a movie and soundtrack from our youth that we loved and see if it holds up today. We also interview your favorite celebrities from that era.
All in the spirit of positivity and togetherness. Check us out at $2LateFee.com.
What's up, everybody? This is Brian here to tell you about our podcast, Bingetown TV. Our hosts include seven best friends with a love for all things television. We cover a range of genres with a focus on fantasy and sci-fi, but also dip our feet into drama, horror, comedy, and pretty much anything we think is good television. We use the traditional deep dive formula for new live shows that are released week to week, but our calling card is our Rooks and Vets and Pitchtown TV series. Rooks and Vets pairs two of our hosts that have seen a show with two of our hosts that have not seen a show. Pitchtown TV is when we have a special guest pitch us a show by having us watch the pilot and trying to convince us to watch the rest. If you're craving more content on some of your favorite TV shows, then you should listen to Bingetown TV.
Find us on our website at bingetowntv.com, the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, or wherever else you may find your podcast.
Dylan.
Hey, Matt.
All right, let's start this one right out the gate. Did you cry?
I did not cry.
Okay, because I did. But all right.
I didn't cry. My text message motherfucker to you is for another reason about this episode. I have my qualms. We can totally get into it for sure. I didn't hate it. I don't want that's not what I'm saying. When I have my issues, we are rapidly approaching the end of the school year. And my mental health is running low, my friends. Mm-hmm. And I'm also, like, you know, paying attention to what's going on in the world. And we're, like, really close to reversing some Supreme Court decisions. We are more preoccupied with a celebrity court case than we are, like, with what is affecting us as a society. And watching this episode, wow, you could really imagine that this shit would happen in real life.
Yeah, I mean, there is literally a line of dialogue that I wrote down where I said, the mayor's got some major Donald Trump energy.
Yeah, he does, dude. The fluke election?
Yeah,
are you fucking kidding me?
Shit, my jaw.
Are you fucking kidding me? I was like, dude, there's no way. Like, did Matt do this on purpose? He knows that I'm, like, all fucked up right now. And now he's going to make me watch some shit that I could have seen on the fucking news.
So,
like, this was very, I would not have been shocked if you would have told me, if Doug wasn't a thing and you were like, this thing just came out, you need to watch this, I would not be shocked if this was brand new.
Yeah.
Brand no, fucking I,
so,
new.
So, I mean, Wizard Behind the Curtain, I actually picked something different.
You did.
But we yes. had to make a slight adjustment, maybe not something that was going to take 90 minutes to an hour and 45
yes,
minutes.
That one is definitely, yeah. That one's on me, which we'll get to. We'll get to it.
I'm just saying.
I'm really looking forward to talking about that.
This was something.
The capacity to watch that right now.
Yeah. This was something that I'd put on my list probably maybe like fall of last year. I decided to do a rewatch of Doug and I was like, oh shit, I forgot that they had a Christmas episode. Yeah. So like anytime that I see any Christmas episode of any show, whether I think it's great, mediocre, or really bad, I still write it down just so we have a list. But I was like, I remember the Doug one actually like kind of hitting me at a certain point. Didn't really at the time that I was like, yeah, we should do Doug. I forgot how heavily this was like a court case episode.
Yeah,
now,
dude.
Here's the flip side. As much as I agree with you that this, I feel like more than anything, this is clearly a little bit of like Doug doing a mixture of like Miracle on 34th Street mixed with like It's a Wonderful Life type vibe. Like,
oh yeah.
And I do think that it's sweet. I think that it's a sweet story if watched literally any other week than the week that we watched
and
it.
What's so funny is like, I feel like if we started this podcast in 2015, okay, we started this podcast in 2015 and this was one of the things that we watched, I think this, what we're about to talk about, would be an entirely different episode than us talking today.
Yeah.
Like, I would not. So the South Park guys at one point said, we're done parodying like real life politics right now because real life is funnier than anything we could come up with. And the entire time watching this, yes, it's very like, this is ridiculous. This is Doug's take on those things. But I could 100% see this happening, like something like this happening, and the gaslighting happening, and like the fucking, like when BB's like, well, it didn't really hurt, no further questions. Like, that's exactly, that's today, that's life. That's
well, like,
life
hold
right
on.
Now
you brought up my girl BB because I need to point out one thing about her. How the fuck does she not see that ice is about to break?
So how do none of them because
there's
even
a
when
giant
they go back
hole in the, and even then when she's walking towards it, not a single person's like, man, there's a giant hole with a floating sign and a lot of cracks over there. Maybe the ice is thin.
It's just that's
my big suspension of disbelief this whole episode.
Oh yeah, not the dog helping build a mansion or helping the judge. I think the judge was the one grow his hair back.
No, that was the mayor.
Okay,
the judge was Porkchop retaught his
daughter
how to walk. Well, no, my favorite one is, you know, he's like, you know, so and so, like he helped you with this, and like, when your house burnt down, who was the first person to show up with like tools and some cookies for you? And then you just hear a voice go, he gave me $20.
Yeah.
Like, I love that he's like a super dog. Like Porkchop.
Oh, yeah.
Porkchop rules. Porkchop is like right up there with Snoopy for like dream dog. Like if you could have any animated dog be an actual pet in your life, Porkchop's pretty high up there.
Hell yeah, dude. So what is your, I know you just said you rewatched Doug recently. You said last year?
Yeah.
So what is your history with Doug?
So similar to the Ren and Stimpy episode, I grew up watching all of this stuff as a kid. I didn't have Nickelodeon, but all of these shows represent, to me, when I think of these shows, I think of being a kid, being at my grandmother's house with all of my cousins. And she had Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
And right around 7 o'clock on Saturday, we'd run upstairs, we'd watch Doug, we'd watch Rugrats, and then Snick would kick in and we would watch the Snick lineup.
Dude. Snick ruled.
So as a kid, I actually didn't like Doug that much. Like I was just like, this is kind of bland.
Yeah.
And then on a whim, I started to feel like kind of nostalgic for Doug, and I saw that I could buy the complete series on DVD for like $20.
Okay.
So I was like, fuck it, I'll buy this. And I watched it and I was kind of charmed by it and I couldn't put my finger on it. And then I watched that documentary, The Orange Years.
Yeah.
And they talk about Doug in there. And it's really funny. If you see the guy who created Doug, he is Doug.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, did you watch that doc at all?
Yes, I ended up watching it. And actually, that's what I'm going to follow up on when you're finished.
Yeah. So, like, dude looks exactly like Doug, like dresses like him, just has that same. Yeah. And he talked about how he wanted to make a show where your hero is just this polite, nice kid who just wants to see the best results for everybody.
Yeah.
And I was like, I need that type of positivity in my life. Like, we were in the midst of COVID, so I busted out the DVDs again to like rewatch it. And he's mostly right. I would say 99% of the Doug episodes, he's firmly in the right position. He's caught in a bad situation and he's trying to fix it. And then, like I said, I was like, oh, it's a Christmas episode. Let me write that down for Christmas 365. But I think that this episode is only four episodes removed from the final episode,
which is crazy to me.
Well, until like Disney bought it and did the Disney thing. But so, like, but I think that that's why you get in this particular episode, you get Smash Adams, Quail Man and Race
and
Canyon
all of them because together.
I think that this was almost like the giant send off of all of these characters because it's like two episodes later, he graduates and that's the end of the series.
Doug to me was very similar to what you're saying. I found it to be pretty bland. I'm of course younger, so my Nicktoons to me, as much as I loved like that OG like Rugrats,
like
Doug and stuff,
SpongeBob,
Invader
Zim.
Well, not even I did love SpongeBob, but like Invader Zim, Angry Beavers.
Angry Beavers was fucking great.
So as the animation improved, that caught my attention more than like the old school animation.
But retrospectively, I feel like there's a charm to something like Doug because it's like, oh, this was made with they could only scrape together so much money for an episode. So it has almost this charming.
Yeah.
Like they look like pencil drawings.
For sure. But I watched Doug a lot as a kid. I watched it a lot with my mom. That opening is classic.
Oh, the theme slaps, dude.
So funny enough though, I didn't realize until I watched that Orange Years documentary. And I did at the time. And maybe it just seemed older to me that age that Doug, like in the beginning's 11, like that's insane to me because the way that these,
they're all middle schoolers. They feel like high schoolers.
Exactly. They feel like high schoolers, especially when we get into like the what's Roger and everybody else. Like that's like, this is 100% high school. I know Roger's held back, right?
I was going to say Roger's depicted as being held back a couple times.
Yeah, exactly. But still it's like, I always pictured these kids as high schoolers and I always felt they were drawn that way as well. I thought they were too tall to be middle schoolers in the way they were animated, especially like looking at Doug's sister who is like driving and everything else, and they're like very similar in heights and everything else. So I don't know, I that's how I always saw Doug. I always saw the cartoon as depicting high schoolers until I watched the Orange Years, and I was like, what, Doug was like 11 when he began? So that's crazy to me.
Put down that smartphone and listen to me. I'm Matthew Milligan, professional musician and lifelong Weird Al fan. Each week, I'm joined by professional podcaster and close personal friend, Matt Kelly, to take a dive off the deep end into the vast career of pop culture icon Weird Al Yankovic on our show, Weird Algorithm. Along with some very special guests from the worlds of music and comedy, we tackle every song, every television appearance, and every bit of sketch comedy Al has produced in chronological order, covering the good old days of My Bologna and Eat It, the fun zone of Tacky and White and Nerdy, and everything in between. As we go, we're ranking the songs, albums, and music videos in the hopes of creating the ultimate guide to a career bigger than the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota. So the next time you're having one of those days stuck in a traffic jam wondering why does this always happen to me, just kick off your sneakers and stick around for a while because we've got it all on Weird Algorithm, available wherever you get your podcasts. And now you know. Was that enough references?
Hi, friends. The world got you down. Don't be sad. Listen to $2 Late Fee with Zach and Dustin.
$2 Late Fee is the podcast that celebrates the best decade of entertainment, the 1980s. We pick a movie and soundtrack from our youth that we loved and see if it holds up today. We also interview your favorite celebrities from that era.
All in the spirit of positivity and togetherness. Check us out at $2LateFee.com.
But I watched it on Nick all the time. I really bowed out when it hit Disney, and I didn't realize that it hit Disney in like 96.
Yeah, it hit Disney as them as high schoolers. So the Disney seasons are them in high school. And it just gets weird. I don't hate the Disney seasons, but it's such a dramatically different show.
Yeah.
Like I feel like the original run of Doug existed in some type of pseudo reality. Yeah. And then you get to like the high school season of Doug, and it's like BB's dad bought the school and it's shaped like her head, and Roger's suddenly rich, and like, yeah, it's just a little too over the top. But what I do love about this original Doug is when I was a kid, I didn't think it was a particularly funny show.
No, I didn't either think it was
now
funny.
Now I watch it and I think that there are some really good, funny jokes that are just like the two prime examples I wrote down was one is a visual gag, which is when Doug is going to visit Porkchop after he's been arrested, and the pound has a special section for very bad dogs.
Very bad dogs.
And there's a dog like lounging in his bed smoking a cigarette. like that's really funny. But the best part in this whole episode is when he walks past the TV and there's the dramatic reenactment of what happened.
Oh yeah, and it's like a bulldog, and he's just ravaging the
just
the
swinging
actor.
Her around. She's going, "No!" and I think it's funny because it's all like that's a Simpsons joke. Like Simpsons have done like that type of joke before, but it just hits. It's such a good joke. But I feel like this episode has a nice blend of some funny moments, but some really heartfelt moments. Like,
oh, yeah.
As much as we were joking about, you know, the absurdity that Porkchop does all this stuff.
Yeah.
I will never not love a scene where a character is giving a speech about how important someone is to the community. And then the whole community is like, you know, like it's that my captain moment. And like, you know, Dead Poets Society is just. Something
it's
about
so
that always
funny.
Gives me
like
a good feeling.
The absurd things that Porkchop helped people with. He helped who helped your daughter relearn how to walk? Well, I helped a little.
And then also that, like, as a thank you, they throw a giant banquet exclusively for the dogs were in the pound.
Yeah.
And then you know, as if that's not like absurd enough, then there's just a voiceover of Doug, and he's like, and every single one of them found a home that day. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, that's a little too sugary sweet even for me.
Well, he said the mayor was there, or the ex-mayor, the former mayor was there, and he made sure every dog had a home before he left that day. And it's just, I don't know, man, that I can't, there's no way that mayor wasn't based off Donald Trump.
Oh, every aspect of it.
Single aspect. Like, it's mind-blowing. I don't know if they could tell the future.
It's definitely a Simpsons predicting the future type scenario.
Holy shit. It was it was fucking with me. That was definitely messing with my brain. But, I mean, stepping away from that as best as I possibly can in today's society, I thought it was a great episode. I thought it was very heartfelt. It made me want to go back and watch Doug from the beginning. I forgot some of these characters, BB in particular, BB and her father. I forgot, like, those two characters. Definitely doesn't include a lot of our other mainstays. There's not a lot of Patty. There's not a lot of Skeeter.
There's almost no Skeeter.
Skeeter's literally in the scene where they go to the pound and helps him helps him with the cupcake. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, we do not get a lot of either of those two.
Here's a trivia question for you.
Yeah.
Do you know what Skeeter's first name is?
No.
This blew my fucking mind when I was doing the rewatch.
Okay.
In the first episode, Doug introduces himself. And he says, "My name is Mosquito, but you can just call me Skeeter for
shut
short."
The fuck up. For real? Yeah. I had no idea. Skeeter Valentine.
They never bring it up again, but yes, his full name is Mosquito Valentine.
I'm on the Doug fandom wiki. Just a heads up, there is one out there. Mosquito Alumni Valentine.
Mad. What a wild name. Well, Doug's middle name is Yancey, so there's also that. True. They
Doug
had a lot
Yancey
of fun
funny.
Naming these characters.
I mean, I just, Doug is, it is a show that makes me feel warm. It is a show that I watched as a kid.
Even as a kid, and I didn't like it that much, it did give you a weird comforting feeling to have on. Like,
exactly.
It's like easy TV. You know what I mean? Like, it's stress-free for the most part. You just kind of put it on. It's like white noise to you as a kid. It's kind of like when I would have like my home from sick days, like, yeah, I would put on the Game Show Network like everyone else always did. But sometimes, like, I didn't hate just throwing on Nick Jr. in the background because those shows were just so calm that like, you know, like if you're just like trying to like lay on the couch and doze off, like it's almost like if you put on Nick Jr. at that time and you're getting stuff like David the Gnome and like these like very just like middle level volume type shows, like it was this weird soothing hum to like fall asleep to. I feel like Doug was like kind of a soothing hum type show because it wasn't like the crazy, you know, the craziness of a Ren and Stimpy or a Rugrats where it's like these loud noises and wild things are happening. It's very middle tones.
Everything was very low stakes, and that's what I liked about, except for this fucking episode.
Oh, no, this episode was just full of dog. I'll be honest, the first, because I hate, there's nothing that stresses me out more than like watching a thing where someone you know is innocent is like got a whole gang against them.
Same, dude. That's like, not that I was super into the show to begin with, but that's why I stopped watching Sons of Anarchy for a bit. I don't know if you
ever
watched
it. I don't do well with
it.
Any of those shows.
There was a specific season, I might have been number 3, that super stressed me out to the point where I never finished watching it because it was that storyline where somebody was innocent and everybody else thought he was guilty. And I hate that shit, just like you do, where as the audience member, you know something, but no one else in the show knows it, and that shit, drives me up a fucking wall.
Sons of Anarchy probably is way worse because at least with Doug, you know that eventually Porkchop is going to be innocent.
Exactly.
But Sons of Anarchy, it could go either way.
He's going to kill this fucker.
You know what I mean? That, dude, the amount of like, there's so many indie films that I love where it's hard for me to rewatch them though because there's some weird subplot of like mistaken identity or confusion where it's like, innocent character just gets shot and that's how like your main anti-hero like survives and escapes type scenario. I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but I know that it's like a theme that I've seen a million times.
I'll tell you what fucked me up. It's a little different, but Uncut Gems.
The ending
of Uncut Gems fucked me up, dude. I was so bummed when that movie ended.
That was definitely a movie that, I mean, I highly recommend that movie.
Yes.
If you haven't seen it, it's just a nonstop panic attack.
Yes.
But it's you know, I've said it about Hereditary and I'll say it about Uncut Gems. It is not a movie that I can ever see myself sitting down to rewatch because it just puts way too much of an emotional strain on me.
So much, dude. So much. But yeah, that stuff stresses me out. And I'll be honest, the beginning of this episode stressed me out too. Because the entire time, Doug's like, how can I help this? All right, I'm going to sign a petition, which is also seems very apropos for today's society.
Yeah.
And he's going around and the lady's even like, this is Christmas time. It's not time for petitions. It's time for presents. You bitch, sign the petition. And it's like that petition scene was like the cartoon embodiment of Twitter. Like that's exactly what it was, especially when he goes up to the couple and the guy's like, yeah, I'll sign it, and the woman behind him is like, that's the dog from the TV. Oh, sorry, I'm not gonna sign this. And then walks away, and I'm like, this is social media in 2022.
Yeah,
that's all this is. But thankfully, in the end, they do go to the lake where BB originally was saved from, and BB's dumbass falls in the lake this time.
which raises the question, maybe it would have been better if she just fell in the first time and Porkchop saved her after
the fact. Exactly. I think from this moment forward, Porkchop's going to think twice before he fucking saves anyone.
Dude, 110%. Look, that's the world we live in.
Dude, 100%. If I was Porkchop, ain't no way. I didn't cry. But I do highly recommend it. I don't know if I recommend it as a Christmas watch.
No, it's not. I mean, it ends with like Deck the Halls. Yeah. It's got like Christmassy elements. But It does. I feel like Nickelodeon went out of their way to make sure that most of their Christmas episodes weren't so Christmassy that they could get that sweet, sweet syndication out of it.
Yeah, totally. I totally get behind that, which is why you didn't see like they didn't run the Rugrats Hanukkah special all the time, because that shit was Hanukkah as fuck.
Yeah, I mean, we should cover that eventually, though, because because
it's great.
It's really good, and it's whether you're Jewish or not. Like, if you were of a certain age of a certain time of your life, like
that was event.
You
TV.
Grew up. That was event television.
That was. I absolutely loved it, and I haven't seen it in probably 2 decades. But
that being said, we should probably
excited.
Definitely make sure one of our Jewish friends joins us on that episode. Yeah. So it's not just
so it's not like, I guess this is what Jewish people do.
Yeah, no, I think we should maybe at least try to cover our bases with that.
Definitely. For sure.
Well, Dylan.
Yeah, man.
To paraphrase Doug.
Yeah.
You're part of my family, Dylan.
Aww, you're part of my family, Matt. Whoa, oh, whoa, oh, oh, now we won't stop till the big ball drops on New Year's. Happy holiday, have a great, great, great holiday, have a merry, 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 happy holiday.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.
Put down that smartphone and listen to me. I'm Matthew Milligan, professional musician and lifelong Weird Al fan. Each week, I'm joined by professional podcaster and close personal friend, Matt Kelly, to take a dive off the deep end into the vast career of pop culture icon Weird Al Yankovic on our show, Weird Algorithm. Along with some very special guests from the worlds of music and comedy, we tackle every song, every television appearance, and every bit of sketch comedy Al has produced in chronological order, covering the good old days of My Bologna and Eat It, the fun zone of Tacky and White and Nerdy, and everything in between. As we go, we're ranking the songs, albums, and music videos in the hopes of creating the ultimate guide to a career bigger than the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota. So the next time you're having one of those days stuck in a traffic jam wondering why does this always happen to me, just kick off your sneakers and stick around for a while because we've got it all on Weird Algorithm, available wherever you get your podcasts. And now you know. Was that enough references?
Hi, friends. The world got you down. Don't be sad. Listen to $2 Late Fee with Zach and Dustin.
$2 Late Fee is the podcast that celebrates the best decade of entertainment, the 1980s. We pick a movie and soundtrack from our youth that we loved and see if it holds up today. We also interview your favorite celebrities from that era.
All in the spirit of positivity and togetherness. Check us out at $2LateFee.com.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.